All right. Welcome, everyone, to the VC HTTP API call. This is July 20th, 2021. Charles is scribing. Thank you very much, Charles, for scribing. Today's agenda is here. I'll put this agenda. On the agenda today is the agenda review, which we're doing now, some introductions, use case updates. And then we're going to spend a pretty sizable portion of the call on pull requests and issue processing, followed with ending the call with the OAuth2 RAR proposal. We need to determine whether or not we're going to run that as a majority, supermajority, or go back to consensus base before we run it. Are there any updates or changes to the agenda? Anything else we should cover today? Go ahead, Mahmood.
Just a quick note. I want to propose that we use, if we're switching away from consensus, to use supermajority, not majority. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if this is the right time for it, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's pick that up at the beginning of the call. So I'll add it right after we do intros and use case update. Does that work for you, Mahmood?
Sounds perfect.
Okay, awesome. All right, real quick, intros, reintros. Is there anyone new to the call today? Is there anyone that hasn't been on the call for a while and would like to reintroduce themselves to the group? All right, noting silence, we'll move on. Next up is the use case update. Eric Wan, if you could give an update. I did not schedule you guys for this week. I'm going to schedule you guys for next week for like a full-blown use case kind of walkthrough. Do you have any updates that you want to give us this week?
Yeah. Eric, you want to go for it?
I can start off. Yeah, sure. So just posted a link to the use case document specifically to a new heading that is titled Rev for Transition to W3C GitHub. So this has all of the title sections that you'll see in like the DID or VC use case documents. And, we've started to fill out a few of them. Still very rough. Also transitioned the five use cases that we had identified as well formed to this point, to kind of be in this new format. Eventually this will get transferred over to the Markdown, and all of the other stuff, but, so mostly just no big content changes in this section at this point. But if anyone wants to take a stab at writing an abstract or an introduction to this, I wouldn't complain. Otherwise, next week you'll see my best attempt between myself, Juan, and Joe at a first draft of those sections.
Awesome. Looks fantastic. Is there any other help that you need from us? Like, is it mostly you would like people to kind of take a look at it, or do you want folks to do a deeper dive?
At this point, it's pretty rough. So just take a look at it, and if you have anything that you think you can fill in quickly, take a shot at it. The only other thing, we still do have use cases up above in the old format with the flow diagrams that we've been pinging some people about. So, Adrian, I think we had a comment for you trying to figure out how to tease out a use case from one of yours, and a couple of others. So we're still accepting new use cases. Feel free to edit old ones if you like. So, that's about it.
And there's one here that, we threw together sort of specifically with RAR in mind, like as a sort of straw man for RAR. A situation where, you know, trying to imagine a situation that only works with some sort of policy enforcement, authorization stuff. So, if it's helpful, maybe taking a glance at this one. It's called Issuance of a VC to a Human Holder, and there's two different flows here. If you're a flow diagram person, you could start by looking at the flows and then read the text. That in particular is not, this one isn't in the five that Eric cleaned up and put into standard format yet. It's still in this more verbose format for input. So, particularly people who have strong opinions about RAR, please check it out and tell me if there's a step missing or something that would make this more useful as a straw man for this specific topic. I say that because it's timely, so it'd be good to have authorization details right before this goes into the, gets PR'd in and everyone shifts focus. Okay, that is my only request.
Awesome. Thank you, Juan. Is next week a good week to put you guys on the agenda to go over what you have so far?
Yeah, I think so. Our goal will be to essentially have a first draft, I think, of most of these sections at the bottom here. The requirements one may or may not be fully formed, of course, but I think next week we should have enough that would be worth spending 10 or 15 minutes.
Okay, great. I'll put you guys on for, 15 minutes with maybe some Q&A. I think we're going to probably end up dropping into a more relaxed, set of meetings, just issue processing. We're going to try to keep some of the more controversial discussions. We're going to try and push them off a tiny bit longer. So we give ourselves a little bit of a breather between the authorization discussions and the next big whatever. Okay. So you guys are on the agenda next week, and you have as much time as you need. We'll say maybe 15 to 20 minutes. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Moving on, in the agenda, next up is, let's see, decision making, method. So the, after quite a bit of discussion on authorization, we had decided to go into a, majority vote. Nobody enjoyed that, I don't think. But we did, we were able to kind of push forward, past some things that, we were unable to make progress on. Towards the end of the call, folks were like, let's not ever do this again. And if we do something like it, we should be doing supermajority, not, just, 51%. Let me try and suggest something, that we move back to consensus-based decision making. That typically works. We were in a rough spot where it wasn't working. But when possible, we should try to shoot for consensus, and it's only when consensus fails for a fairly extended period of time should we even think about going to supermajority. And we will probably never do majority again. I don't think anybody like that. So let me see if folks are okay with switching back to just consensus-based decision making for the foreseeable future until we hit, a period of 1 to 2 months where we can't make a decision and we need to move forward. Anyone want to speak for or against? Mahmood, you're up, then Jeff.
So I have a procedural question, and I don't know how this really would work, but is there a way we can rerun last week's proposals with supermajority instead of majority? And I know this would make all of last week a waste of time. However, considering how much work has been put into the BCHTTP API, I don't think it makes sense for us to have proposals that a bare 51% agreed to bind the rest of us for, going forward. And I don't know how that works specifically within W3C. I don't know how this, goes ahead. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Mahmood. Justin?
First, any system that is derailable by a single individual is not consensus. I just want to throw that out there. I would also recommend actually the opposite of what Mahmoud was just saying, and that since there were a number of proposals that were brought forward to the group as a set, that they should be evaluated under the same rules, but I do not see the value in rehashing everything last week. So that, to be clear, I think we should just run the rest of the set of proposals as previously brought together as a group under the same simple majority rules and just move on with our lives.
Okay, sounds good, Justin. So, you know, if folks have any thoughts on this, please put yourself on the queue. Mahmoud, I mean, this is not typical W3C process. You know, what we just did it to try and get move forward. We can look at some of the, I don't think we should rerun them, right? Because we're just opening it, the entire can of worms back up to relitigate everything. We can, if we want, look back, you know, and see what actually achieved supermajority. And I think most of them, if not all of them, did reach supermajority. I did go back and look, and I didn't see, I was surprised that, you know, some of the ones that I didn't think would pass reached, you know, supermajority. But, that said, you know, relitigating's problematic. I do think Justin has a point where it was like there was a group that we were going to try to run through. And one of them we ran out of time, and maybe, you know, for fairness sake, we should give it a shot under the same, rules. I think that's a valid, position. I'm supportive of it, even though I don't think I'm going to like the outcome. That's it. Ori and then Adrian.
So, previously we had resolved to use OpenAPI specification 3. Some folks know it as Swagger, to define these APIs. And I was looking at, you know, its support for the resolution regarding client credentials. And it does support defining OAuth2 client credentials. So I think that resolution we can, implement in the actual API specification. I'm less familiar with OpenAPI Specification 3 and GNAP/RAR, and since the previous call approved their potential support, I'm wondering if anybody can comment on whether it's possible to represent them in OpenAPI Specification 3, because if it isn't, then it would appear that we've resolved to do something that's not possible. So, and I'm just not familiar enough with it. It's possible that they're totally compatible.
Go ahead, Adrian. Thanks, Ori.
Coming off mute. Thank you. Well, I think a lot of this might be a lot easier, and I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but at some point, it doesn't have to be this week, we can make a resolution or we can make a decision, however we want to make it as a group, that we only have one of three choices, in my opinion. One of them is to reduce the scope to avoid authorization in this particular work group. The second one is to do GNAP with or without OAuth as well, the so-called simultaneous decision. Or the third one is to ask me to leave the group in order for you to have a consensus around this. Now, I'm not trying to call that hand because I do appreciate the opportunity, at least on the mail list, to try and plead my case. But as far as I can tell, over the last month or two that we've been talking about this in various ways, those are really the three possibilities that emerged. And at some point, we can try to decide which of those really works best for the, you know, hardworking people that are trying to get this done here, which include me. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Adrian. Two comments, and then let's go ahead and move on. Ori, you know, groups sometimes make decisions that are slightly contradictory, and that's okay. And we just need to figure out a way through it. I don't, you know, what we're making decisions on are not law. We don't have to strictly interpret them. And so, yes, we said we're going to write our stuff up in OAS, and we're going to do that. And if it has any limitations, we can make up for those limitations in the respec document. So, you know, I hesitate to say just because OAS can't do something, then we can't do it in the group, especially if we've made a decision that we're going to try to do something in the group, right? That's a bit too litigious of a way to approach this thing. As far as, Adrian, your comment, I think we've put some of those proposals to the group, but specifically about asking you to leave the group, we will not be making a proposal to do that. We do not ask people to leave groups. It is antisocial. Yes, it's a pain to have to deal with everyone's opinion, but it is, we are not here to exclude people from communities, right? So we're not going to ask you to leave, Adrian. That's not how this community operates. Okay. So, let me try and propose something. I think, Justin is making a case for, fairness around expectations. We were majority last week. We have one final RAR proposal. We will run that as majority because there was an expectation there that, we should probably keep. People might not like the outcome, right? So keep that in mind. If there's a majority, you know, decision to do that thing, we will accept it as a resolution and we will move on. It is still up to the people that are implementing and all that kind of stuff to actually implement this stuff. Keep that in mind. Just because the group makes a resolution doesn't mean that an implementer has to implement it, and so on and so forth. I'm merely putting this forward so that we can make some progress. Okay. Would there be anyone that would object so strongly that you wouldn't want the group to operate like that today? Okay. I'm not hearing any objections, so we're going to operate like that today. We will pull up the RAR decision as a majority decision, and then we will be going back to consensus-based decision-making because, again, I don't think anyone's enjoying the majority-based decision-making. All right. Pull requests are up next. The one thing I wanted to highlight here is that we'll just go through the agenda in order. I sent an email out to the mailing list. This group, a number of weeks ago, resolved to split the current VCHTTP API repo into a specification repo and a test suite repo. I have done the surgery to do that. There are two repos now, one for the spec with a clean history. Meaning like preserved history, but the spec repo doesn't have any of the test suite commits in it. And there's a test suite repo that doesn't have any of the spec commits in it. Everything's been preserved. History has been preserved. And so the question to the group is, you know, this was a resolution we made. I've put it out there. Do we want to adopt these two histories and these two repos as where we do our work? So let me pause for half a second to see if folks have feedback for or against. Crickets. Let me rephrase. Oh, go ahead, Ori.
So now that these are split up, can we let them vary like super widely? Like, could we decide that our tests are not going to be reflected in the spec for like a really long time? Because that's sort of what we have today. with two separate, with the same repo, we have a number of endpoints that are in spec, not under test, or things that are under test, but not defined in the spec. So I'm wondering whether, like, now that we're separating these things out, we can move them faster independently without them being bound to each other to the same degree.
So, you know, it's usually a bad idea to keep those things too out of sync with one another. But given where we are in the process, this is all we're in experimental territory. And given that it's reality that we have a test suite and tests and interoperability through that, it would probably be a shame to undo that. So, I mean, you know, and this is just my personal opinion. Yeah. I mean, let them, they vary today. Ideally we try to get them to converge and have the tests reflective of the spec and the spec reflective of the tests. But maybe as a group, we just understand that might not happen for a while. And that's okay because we're in an experimental state. It certainly wouldn't be okay if we were at the end of a candidate recommendation period, but we're very far away from that. Does anyone else have any concerns about kind of operating in that state for the time being? Okay, I'm not hearing any concerns, Ori, so I'm reading that as they're separate. They are, you know, they're definitely not aligned today, and the group's going to try to align them, and that is going to be a result of people doing work and putting in the effort.
I have a related question for the spec. I don't know if I'm still on my queue.
Go ahead. Nobody else on the queue.
So, you know, we have a couple other repositories that would like to point to this, specification, the single respec document that we agreed would capture it. And ideally we'd like to link directly into sections of the specification. You know, typically in a spec, there'll be informative and, you know, normative sections, but this is a CCG draft. So I'm just wondering, like, How legit is it to link to sections of this specification from other specifications? And I'm thinking specifically of traceability vocabulary, vaccination vocabulary, you know, universal wallet interop, other CCG work items that have respec documents that would like to link to this specification.
Go ahead, Justin.
So if the, so section stability in standards documents is, believe it or not, a hotly debated topic in some circles. I just hang out in weird circles. And, but basically, if the target is, semantic in nature, which is to say, if the anchor can be like, you know, issuer endpoint or something like that, that is a human readable semantic anchor, that is fine for a spec in kind of this state. Anything that is section number specific is going to be inherently fragile, and anybody linking in should accept that as a potential problem. What I do not recommend and would not recommend this group to do is to focus on section number stability this early in the definitions process. I don't think that's what was being suggested, but it is something that should be specifically avoided. So yes, link to anchors and have those anchors be named anchors and not section numbers. You can still call out a section number in your link, but know that you might have to change that in the thing that you're linking from.
Yeah, plus one to Justin, and respec actually makes this pretty easy. So the only thing you have to do, Ori, not a DFN, but because respec does funky things with that, but like an ID, an anchor, just create an anchor in HTML. And if you're using respec on the spec that's referring to this spec, if you're using respec on both sides, everything's easier. If you're using respec on, like, let's say the traceability API, there's a way for you to say this spec, this anchor in that spec in a way that makes it all like really nice and pretty and work well. So we have the capability. I wouldn't start doing it anytime soon. The VCHP API spec is like totally not stable. But if you need to do it, we can. Does that answer your question, Ori?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Anything else about around your questions, Ori, that you needed feedback on?
Nope.
Okay. Let's see. All right. So let me kind of restate the whole, splitting thing. The assumption here is that, we will adopt those two split repos because it's acting on a resolution. And we'll do that by next week, by next call. Would anyone object to that? Okay, I'm not hearing any objections. The VCHP API repo is going to stay the same. It's just going to get a new main branch history. The test suite will get has a new repo, and we just need a chair call. Mike, are you here? Mike Prorock? Yeah, you are.
I am. Yep.
Mike, do you have any opinion on us having to go through the whole like work item process? This is basically us taking an existing work item that was approved and splitting it. Do you feel we need to go through the CCG process, or you're just like, nah, just move it over?
I think just move it. I don't see any reason to slow that one down.
Okay. All right. All right. Cool. We will do that then. Then that's easy. That's clear. And we can get that set of PRs moving. All right. Next, PR that's up, was the support JOT one. Charles, you, voluntarily closed this based on the new work item that is being contemplated for the JOT test suite, which is great. So thank you for doing that. Go ahead, Rory.
So, I'm in favor of that, new work item. I've spent some time thinking about what the VCHTTP API would look like if it did support multiple formats. And I look forward to contributing to that work item. And I suspect that very quickly we will be super sad that these are separate work items. So I'm just noting that I think we do need a separate work item for it, but it's going to very quickly turn into a world where we really wish we could talk about credentials, not credentials of a specific type in a specific work item. So looking forward to getting to that point. And yes, the abstract data model is RDF in the VC data model. We actually have one. It's great.
My read's the same as yours, Ori. I think we're in for a world of pain when we start trying to do that stuff. But it's good. Like, we recognize that, that item needs to be put forward. And yeah, I agree with you completely, Ori. I think it is going to be painful to see. To try and reconcile that, but it may actually be a very healthy thing for the API long term. All right. So that one was closed, just so everyone knows. Next one is issue 211. So I'll put that in here. This is the revocable indicator. My expectation is this is still in process, Ori. Is that right?
Yeah, he's still out. We're working on a revision to it. I think Marcus commented on a related issue and had a proposal for closing the related issue or something to that effect. I don't know if he's on the, I think I saw him on the call, but wondering if there's been any update regarding that.
Marcus? He's here, but muted. And maybe asleep because it's late there. Okay, we'll bring it up again later. Let's see. Next item up is 213. 213 was actually merged. So that's good. Ori merged it. It had multiple approvals. Mahmood, Ori, we just need to remember to cherry pick this into the new history when we pull the new history in. I will try to remember to do that. But if we forget, no big deal. We can just cherry pick it. Okay, those are all the PRs. Any comments, questions on PRs? Okay, then next up is issue processing. First item up, in issue processing is, issue 34. And these are in, oldest order, basically, the least recently updated order. 34 has to do with the atomic nature of credential issuance and reference creation. Dave and Troy were going back and forth on this. Is there anyone here? Go ahead, Ori.
So in the early days of the VC issuer API, there was discussion around essentially constructing credentials over time. And this issue would appear to be hearkening back to that time when credentials were created over time and then issued. You can kind of think of that like you're constructing an object incrementally and then you sign that object at a certain point and that's when it actually gets issued. So I think the main comment I would make about this is the current API assumes perfectly well-formed JSON on the client. And so you still have the ability to do all of that incremental building. It's just you can't use this API to help you with any of it. You've got to do it yourself. And then at some point you pass your perfectly well-formed credential to the VC HTTP API and you make sure the issuer ID is actually an issuer ID that's supported by that endpoint. And then you get a credential on the other end of it. So that's what this issue is about, is it's discussing that world before the world that we're in today, where you used to be able to build these things over time, and maybe with using things like templates, et cetera. I would propose closing this issue unless folks want to specifically resurrect that old worldview. And if you do, it's going to be a lot of work to get it to work cleanly. It could be worth doing.
All right. So that's, yeah. So we've got a proposal on the table, which is basically, hey, if you want to do incremental building or if you want to do template based building, that's cool. Do it yourself or use some other API. And when you're done with that thing, when it's fully formed, send it to the VC HTTP API, the issuer API. Is that a alternate summary of what you just said, Ori?
Yep, I'm leaving a comment on the issue to that effect.
Okay, and then let's go ahead and pick up a proposal and listen. Someone's objecting. So the proposal regarding issue 34, if a caller desires to build a VC incrementally or from a template, the caller can use another API to do so and then send the fully formed VC to the VC HTTP API for processing. And then let me try to actually put the URL for the issue in. All right. There's the proposal. Plus one, minus one, as you see fit, folks. I'm going to hold for a couple more seconds for other people to get their comments in. I disagree slightly with your the way you're framing it, Ori. You can send it to something else that understands JSON-LD. You don't have to. But it is true that other thing needs to understand it. Go ahead, Ori.
This API will only understand well-formed JSON-LD if you send it something to be issued. So you're placing that requirement 100% on the client or resources available to the client outside of the scope of this working group, mm-hmm. which is, I think, the same thing that you're saying. I'm just being extra clear about it because something that some folks might want would be for these APIs to help you not need to understand JSON-LD, right? Maybe that's a thing that people think these APIs should be helping you do. With this resolution, they will certainly not be helping you in that way.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to hold for a little bit and then resolve this. All right, that's resolved. We can always change our mind and add that endpoint if folks feel like templating is a really important thing or, you know, that is an unreasonable requirement to put on callers. Thank you, Ted. I failed to share the list of issues, in ascending order. All right. That's 34. Let's actually go ahead and this issue was discussed on the telecon today and the following resolution was approved. And that is this one. And there we go. All right, next item up is issue 36, and I am keeping an eye on the clock. We've got 9 minutes left on this before we go to the OAuth 2 RAR proposal. Next item up is issue 36. This was raised by you, Ori. You are saying we need to define a reference ID. Would you like to provide some an overview?
I think this issue is, I couldn't even make sense of this issue. There's not nearly enough details on it. I suspect this is related to the reference ID mechanics related to, credential revocation lists. I see Marcus is on the queue, so I defer to him.
Go ahead, Marcus.
No, I think it has more to do with this templating that we just said we don't need anymore. So in the original version of the API, there was a field called a reference ID, which would allow the API implementation to automatically populate claim values or other parts of the credential. So it goes back to this templating and composing, which we don't really have anymore. So I think this is obsolete and can probably be closed.
All right. Would anybody object to closing issue 36 based on what Marcus just said? All right, I'm adding that text, and I'm citing the resolution as the reason that we closed it. So that's commented, closing. I think I might have forgotten to close the other. Nope, the other one got closed too. Okay. Next up is issue 38. Issue 38 is about capturing requirements to support zero-knowledge proof credentials. Mike, you raised this. Would you like to give us some background?
Yeah, so I think it's a little bit related to the JWT format for verifiable credential, in that there's a ZKP format for a verifiable credential. And in particular, I was looking at the indie-style ZKP credential format, and if there were any requirements that were required by the API and or other a back and forth conversation to generate that credential. So since then there was discussion with Daniel, who I'm considering a subject matter expert, and he kind of brought up a couple other issues, and then now BBS Plus has entered the fray as a zero knowledge proof, you know, capability. So I think that this issue by itself might spawn some other questions around how, you know, do we need to commit to the particular schema for a verifiable credential, you know, before it's actually issued or something like that. That's an issue Daniel raised. But also specifically, does this HTTP API need to support the, and I apologize if I get it wrong, I think it's CL signature style, zero knowledge proof. So I'm going to go back to Daniel. I'm going to ask for some more guidance in that arena. And then if there are issues not related to zero knowledge proof, but that may enhance the API, we can split them out as other issues. Does that kind of make sense? Or at least give context as to what this issue was trying to capture?
Yeah. So just to be clear, you are taking an action to go and talk with Daniel and maybe extract some requirements from him.
Specifically for these CL signatures, zero knowledge proof. And then if there are other issues we want to spin out, we can do that.
Okay. Tobias, you're on the queue.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. So just to add some color, I think, when it comes to like all different sort of, there's some trade-offs between these different digital signature schemes, I suppose. And in the context of CL, As you raised, Mike, because there is the notion of a credential definition or a schema of a certain kind of structure and kind of particular hosting of cryptographic materials at present, there's some complexity that would exist outside of this API that would make it quite difficult to issue, in my opinion, CL-enabled signatures right now. And personally, I think as a general convention, as a group, when we are adding cryptographic schemes to the VC-HTTP API and talking about that, we should be aiming to logically group them under a common set of behaviors. And one of the analogy I would give is when, you know, elliptic curve came onto the territory, it didn't completely redefine concepts like public and private key and the information you must be equipped with when you perform, say, signature signing or signature verification. It's just the cryptographic material and the primitives kind of changed under the hood. And we've certainly tried to do that with our work on BBS. And I think just noting, managing that complexity at that interface and having a kind of overall goal. Otherwise, if we open up to a whole bunch of schemes that require prerequisite information being pre-computed before you can create the signature and allowing for that sort of complexity, I don't see how we will be able to create enough standardization around this API.
Great. Thank you, Tobias. Mike, you're on the queue.
Yeah. So thank you. Cause I wanted to just follow that up. So, cause I agree with the points that Tobias raised, and I'm wondering, for those more familiar with the VC spec, are there any other credentials that are using that ZKP like placeholder type? Or is it just reserved for the CL signature model?
at the time the VC spec was put together, ZKP CL signatures were really the only thing that were being considered, as far as I remember.
Okay. So, and again, I don't want to run a proposal today, but it may be the case that, given the scope of the API and where we're at, that perhaps, although it's called the VC HTTP API, maybe that type of VC is not considered. But let me follow up with Daniel and talk it through a bit on the issue, and then we'll come back with some proposals on how to move forward.
Yeah, to be clear, sorry to clarify what I just said. We knew that there were going to be many other different types of proofing mechanisms, blockchain anchoring, different types of zero knowledge or selective disclosure schemes, along with more traditional digital signature schemes. So, the VC API, VC data model basically said there are going to be many different types of proofs. But, you know, we were looking at it through the lens of CL signatures. At least the ZKP side of it was looking at CL signatures. And if you go and you read the spec today, it's starting to sound kind of dated, right? And it needs to be updated. It didn't contemplate BBS Plus wasn't a thing back then, and it is now, and we need to take that into consideration. All right, so next step here is, Mike, you're going to go off chat with Daniel, see if he's got any input. Tobias, I think it would be useful to, I don't know what you could write here, Tobias, but certainly BBS Plus is going to be kind of the poster child for how we do this correctly in the VCHTTP API. So heads up, I'm sure people are going to be picking your brain about this and everybody else that's working on BBS Plus. It may be that this is not the right issue to do it, and you might want to open a new issue specifically around BBS Plus.
Yeah, I'll try and document some of what I just said. Sorry to jump the queue if there is one. Into that issue.
Awesome. Great. Thank you. Queue's empty. We're at the end of the call, so let's pick up the OAuth to RAR proposal. Reminder to everyone, we've got 9 minutes left. This is a majority vote, so whatever gets 51% is the thing that's going to pass. We're doing this in the name of fairness because there was an expectation that all of those proposals would be run under the same rules. After this week, we are going back to consensus-based decision-making. Justin, would you like a 2-minute intro to this before we run the proposal?
Can you type in the proposal that you think we're talking about?
Yeah, sure. A lot
of what I've proposed is not been what's been proposed and translated.
Okay, this was the last one. Oh, sorry, you're in Jitsi, aren't you? Hold on one second.
I'm in both, so that I can keep an eye on the snarky back channel comment.
Sure.
Let's see here. Must define access actions. So, basically, as I've been saying, I am recommending and proposing that this working group treat the VC HTTP API as an API, what OAuth and GNAP would both call a resource server, and only in that regard define the means of access for those. I've already stated where I think we should be on defining how you get access tokens and how you interpret access tokens. I personally believe those should be fairly squarely out of scope, but that's a different debate from this. What this request is saying, what this proposal is saying, is that every time that there is something that you can do on the API, we define a structure that says this is what you can do here. These are the different kinds of things that you can do here. If you're familiar with OAuth 2, it natively uses scopes. GNAP natively uses an object-based language for describing these things in multiple dimensions and stuff that can be much more closely API-specific. And that language has been backported to OAuth 2 in something that's called RAR rich authorization requests. So my proposal is functionally saying, and this proposal is saying that we, in this group, when we define a part of the VC HTTP API, we have to define the kind of access that you would need to ask for using that API. This is only for when you are using GNAP or OAuth 2 to access the API. If you are not, if you are doing something else, you do something else. And so, just let me reread the, So saying that the API specification must define access actions in terms of these RAR structures is not a requirement to implement and use them. It's a requirement on the specification to say and describe how you would do all of these different actions. It is very, very much in line with the OpenAPI specification kind of thing where you describe all of the different stuff that you can do. That's exactly what this is doing and translating that into something that can be applied neatly on a security authorization and delegation protocol such as OAuth 2 or GNAP.
All right. Thank you, Justin. We've got 4 minutes left. I'm going to run the proposal. Remember, this is a majority vote. Whatever gets 51% is what passes. There's the proposal, plus one, minus one, as you see fit. I'm going to keep this open for about 15 more seconds for people to get their votes in. Yeah, I guess what I mean by that, Justin, is I think it might be easier for people to say, yes, let's do this if they can see exactly what it looks like, because I think a lot of the people in the group don't understand what this would look like. So while it might be very clear in your mind what it looks like, it might not be for others. Go ahead, Justin, you're on the queue, and then we'll resolve.
Sorry, I was following... I was following Ori's link there. So yes, Ori's exactly right. It looks like that, but with objects. And so I would be willing to work on translating the RAR structures and proposing those as concrete proposals to the group, as I did in my presentation the other week. If I can partner with somebody who is willing to enumerate the different actions on the different APIs. I know several of you here who do. Ori, I'm not asking for OAuth scopes, to be clear. But I would be happy to work with somebody else who can enumerate, like, these are the actions that you can do. and translate those to the structures, because I really think it is a much simpler thing and a much smaller requirement than people are reacting to.
All right. So, Justin, I'd be willing to do that, except I don't think we have agreement on what the actions are yet. I think that
that's
might,
my point. This is part of agreeing to do this will also help the group define what those actions are. And so I'm all right. To be clear, I am not harping on this because I have some piece of technology that, you know, I'm invested in that I need this group's permission in order to, you know, make it forward and make it succeed in the world. No, stuff I'm working on is going to succeed whether or not you guys pay attention to it. I think it's better for this group. I think it's better for this group to do these things.
All right. Noted, Justin. I'm looking at the time. So how about this as a next step? I don't think it's passing. It doesn't look like it to me, but there's also not just the hard, we will absolutely not work on it. I think there's confusion about, you know, the actions that, you know, the API supports. And we need to talk about that before we, you know, are able to kind of even attempt to define it in RAR. So let's take this to the mailing list. I have a feeling that, you know, it is, you're right, Justin. It's a conversation we're going to have. And maybe once we have that conversation, people will feel, and we have more concrete, you know, things to look at in front of us, people may feel more comfortable, with moving forward there. It is inescapable that we're going to have to talk about, you know, the actions that the API performs. With that, that's the meeting. Thank you everyone, for a wonderful discussion today. We'll go ahead and send the minutes out. The meeting next week will be a bit more of the same. We'll do use cases and then, issue processing, PR processing, until we're done. Thanks all. Have a good week. Ciao.